And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
One run scores. Sierra streaks home and into third with a triple. Dexter Fowler giving the Cardinals the lead in the sixth inning.
You kind of scratch your head when you see this team continue to come back like they have.
Deep to center field. That is a way back, and that is a way gone. Ricky Weeks, and that ball's gone.
Bonifacio to the wall.
Snaps an 0 for 15, and the Royals will not be shut out tonight.
And turned over again. Hornquist back in. Score! Here's your shot. Scores! Nick Ritchie!
The final score in Game 5, Boston 123, Washington 101. The Celtics take a 3-2 lead.
Our corner guys didn't do a great job getting back, or our guards and bigs didn't do a great job getting back, and they were just running out for layups and threes.
Man, we did a hell of a job tonight, from the first guy to the last guy.
That is blasted to left field. Whit Merrifield up onto the tarp. So after all those lineouts to the outfield, the solution is to clear the outfield, and Whit Merrifield gives the Royals a 1-0 lead.
Sound logic right there from the Fox Sports Kansas City, Fox Sports Midwest, Royals Radio Network, NBC Sports Net, Celtics Radio Network, all providing the highlights and or lowlights of the last 24 hours of action. And in the last 24 hours, the Royals one up and one down. One was just an absolute thumper. 12-1.
Yeah.
Both teams spotted the other squad, 4 runs last night, again.
Mm-hmm.
The problem for the Royals was they continued to go, have four more. Okay.
Sure.
All right, you're up 12-0. We got you right where we want. Oh, wait a minute, it's the ninth inning?
Oops, we just ran out of time.
How'd that happen?
Just ran out of time.
Man, just when Jorge Soler was getting hot.
Yeah.
Game's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, 12-1 last night. 6-0 today, though. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not. You're not buying it, are you?
I mean, it's well and good. It's fine and well and good.
It's a series win, 3-1.
It is. I get it. I understand that.
Be excited.
I am very excited.
Were
excited.
You like this when Jameson was born?
No.
Okay. Good.
No. Maybe when Eli was born. No, just kidding.
All right, well, no need for the favorite child question. I think we just answered that.
No, listen. Okay, you remember when I'm trying to think if the offseason, before spring training started, I think we had David Leskey on when the Pecota numbers came out.
Oh, yeah, okay. And they projected and like 71 wins.
71 and 91 for the Royals.
Yeah. And you hated Pecota the previous 2 years, though.
Well, not even that I hated it. The Royals outperformed it.
Okay.
And even last year, they outperformed what Pecota said by five or six wins.
Right. For folks who aren't familiar with Pecota, as part of baseball prospectus, and they do win projections based on previous year and expected production.
And staff and roster and yada, yada, yada. So when
very scientific.
Very scientific. When it came out this year, 71 and 91... Twitter was aflame. Royals Twitter was just in shambles, and everyone was upset. And I think we even had Leskey on when that came. We reached out to him and got him on early.
Yep.
And he talked about how this team is not, that's not who this team is. And you know what? He's right. Royals are 2 games under the projected Pecota. Right now, they should be 15 and 19.
Okay.
After 34 games, if they're on the winning percentage pace for Pecota, they should be 15-19, and they are 13-21. So they're
lagging.
They're 2 games behind. Okay. They're 2 games behind. Even what that you know,
even
bunk,
the 20 game under 500 route
bunk Pecota had to say about things.
It's garbage.
They're 2 games behind that pace.
And it's a hand throw up moment because you don't know what to do. You look at a guy like Jason Vargas, who picked up the win today, drops his ERA to just a touch over one, and he's 5-1. And the Royals have, what, 8 games this year where they've scored one run or less?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you've got an ERA of over 2, your chances of picking up a win aren't real strong.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the Pacoda page today and just checked, and they've got more bunk science. Well, they've got them projected to get to. They have them projected to get to 72 wins still at this point.
Okay.
Which means they're playing, I just want to point this out, that means they're playing 584 ball the rest of the way. Now, 584 would be about 2 games better than the Indians are playing right now that are leading the Central.
So there's hope. You're saying there's hope.
To get to 72 wins. They have to play better ball than the Indians have played so far this season leading the Central.
Just to get to 20
games. Just to
get
to 72 wins.
Okay. So there isn't hope.
It certainly doesn't seem like it.
Okay.
But when you see a guy, it's gotten to the point.
Why do I feel like I'm the one edging closer to the cliff?
Because I'm a really good persuader.
Let go of my chair.
No. Duct tape together. You're coming with me.
Great.
I mean, when you see a performance like Vargas today, it's great. It's like, man, this guy. And all I can think about is, man, that ups his trade value.
You know what all I could think about was?
What's that?
They're playing the Tampa Bay Rays.
I mean, that's very true.
These are the teams.
You have two teams playing 667 and 677 ball, mm-hmm. getting ready to come in for a 6-game homestand at the K.
That would be the Orioles and the Yankees.
Correct.
Yeah. Two of the best teams in Major League Baseball. The Royals are amongst the worst in Major League Baseball.
That's right.
They're number one in one category.
They're probably number one in a bunch of categories.
Least effective with runners in scoring position.
Sure.
Opposing pitchers get runners on second and third, and you know what they're thinking? Got you right where I want you.
Yep.
They're all mine now, Royals.
Runner on third, one out, even today.
Yep.
Even in a win, a solid 6-0 win, runner on third, one out. No runs that inning.
No. 442-8255 is the phone number here on the program. We're coming up here a little bit, head coach Wendy Spratt will join us. Columbia Cougar softball currently ranked number 3 in the NAIA national poll, and they will be hosting softball action beginning Monday for the opening round of the 2017 NAIA Softball World Series, and it will finish up in Clermont, Florida. What a wonderful place to wrap things up.
Mm-hmm.
The winners of the 10 pod sites will advance, and then what they will do is reseed and roll it forward over a week's worth of action, double elimination format, and they will wrap things up. You'll have a national champion by the end of the month of May, which is actually going to be sooner than the NHL or the NBA. That's a win-win.
Jeez. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway.
All right.
So you got that coming up here in just a little bit. Blaine Gabbert has signed a 1-year deal.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Yes. There's a lot of formers in front of the 27-year-old Blaine Gabbert.
Former
Missouri Tiger.
Former Jacksonville Jaguar.
Former first-round pick.
Right.
Former San Francisco 49er.
Mm-hmm.
And now current.
And soon to be former.
Wow. Already?
Well, I mean, he's going to retire someday. And I mean, maybe it's after a long, victorious stretch.
A long, storied career.
At the Arizona Cardinals. And then when he retires, he'll be a former Arizona Cardinal and I'll be vindicated. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
He was 4-9 with the Niners.
I mean, based on that team, that's not shabby.
No. It says here in the release, Gabbert ceded the job to Colin Kaepernick 5 weeks after being named the starter. I don't know if ceded is the right word.
Right.
As much as lost a coin flip.
It can't get any worse.
Right.
Was probably heard in the front office.
Yep. Too soon to say that Colin Kaepernick jumped to his feet to grab this opportunity?
No.
Currently unemployed, by the way, Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
Will he have a job?
I don't think so.
First week of the NFL season. He is still standing on the sidelines going,
Standing on the sidelines?
Yeah. How unusual.
No, I think the, for better or worse, for whatever reasons are out there, I think the black ball is in. I mean, at any kind of, he might take a vet, if he comes around to a veteran's minimum kind of thing, maybe, but he and his agent are still seeking, you know, starting or conceivably starting backup money.
Yeah. See, now I had been hearing that, and he wanted to be a starter, and he wanted a $10 million guaranteed deal, and and there, I cannot think of who it was, but gosh, I wish I could remember the name of the paper, but he was one of only two people that covered the Kaepernick event up in Chicago earlier this week. It was a charity event. It was directed at African-American youth about Know Your Rights.
Yep.
And this writer specifically said everything you're hearing about, he wants to be a starter, wants starter money, he wants this, and that's not true. And my first thought is, okay, then why doesn't he come out or his agent come out and say, hey, you know what? None of that stuff that Peter King is reporting, none of that stuff that Adam Schefter is reporting, none of that stuff is true. He'll happily take $5 million to be a backup, or happily take $2.5 million to be a backup. But we're not hearing that.
Yeah. I mean, the contentiousness.
Boy, did you just went Jay Cutler face on me over there.
I did.
Yeah, what's...
No, just the contentiousness of that and what that looks like. Because people have already made up their mind about Kaepernick. And it has very little to do with football. People have either decided, I'm pro what he does on the sidelines, so therefore I don't mind if he's in the NFL. I'm anti what he does on the sidelines, so therefore I'm anti him being in the NFL. Very little of it. There might be a part in the middle there. There might be a section in the middle where the Venn diagram encompasses what happens on the football field. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, people have made up their mind.
And the football has nothing to do with it.
Right. And so if he comes out and argues with Peter King, argues with reports that are made on...
Does it have to
ESPN.
Be him, or does it have to be, or can it be his agent?
His camp. Anyone in his camp comes out and argues with his name attached to it, that what's being said about Colin Kaepernick, because people out there don't, they, like I said, the mind's already made up. The walls are already trenched in. Now, once the season starts, because here's the other thing, you don't want to burn bridges.
Right.
Because if any of those reports are attached to a team, or a member of a front office from a team, or there is a source, then he doesn't want to burn any bridges.
Right.
So after the season starts, if there are no contracts at any price tag, after everything's done, then you sit down, you have a tell-all. You go on with Bob Lee on Outside the Lines.
Right. He's one of the few people actually still employed by ESPN.
Right. And you sit down, you talk to him, and you say, here's the deal. Here at each point along the way, here's what we would have taken. Here were the things we were asking for, not what was being reported. But because of my on the sideline actions, I got nothing.
Yeah.
And that's how he handles it.
Well, I think you're to your point about there are two camps on the Colin Kaepernick faction, you're absolutely right. There it's either you like him, or you can't stand him, and you can't stand him not because of what he did on the football field, and it's the same reason people like him, but because of what he's done off of the football field. And specifically narrowed pinpoint down to not his stance, but his kneeling for the national anthem. That one fulcrum point of opinion making has folks on either side of the teeter-totter. There's that one little point in the middle.
There's a parallel out there somewhere to the victory formation.
Right. And you know what
to the aspect of kneeling down as a victory versus kneeling down taking an L, which is what Colin Kaepernick's done, unfortunately.
Well, you can't spell Colin without An L.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed to work on the way out.
Okay. Very good.
And sometimes it ends up being the bug on the windshield.
Yep.
Yep. Head coach Wendy Spratt. Next, we'll talk NAIA National Championship run beginning Monday for the Cougars of Columbia College.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hi, welcome back to the Closers here as we roll on through hour number two. Hope your Thursday is going well. Her day is going pretty well. A lot of travel involved, but now it is time to turn attention to NAIA softball for head coach Wendy Spratt over Columbia College. And coach, a couple things to get out of the way. First, congratulations on the AMC regular season title. Congratulations on the AMC softball tournament title, and congratulations on being the AMC coach of the year. How's that all that washing over you the last week?
Well, it's very exciting. We haven't done this well in quite a few years. I don't remember the last time we swept those awards, so it's very exciting that the team is playing very well and they're motivated, because after we won the regular season, they knew already that we had qualified for the national tournament. So kind of to keep that fire burning and have them get the tournament title too was pretty impressive. And, you know, they wanted it and they worked hard for it and went out and performed very well. So I'm very proud of them.
Yeah, head coach Wendy Spratt with us here on the Closers, Jay Sparks and George Young. We've talked in the past as we go into the postseason about, you know, redemption and kind of a get back attitude and things that motivate. Have you guys just had fun this year? Has this year just been fun playing the game of softball?
It has been the most fun year I've had in 23 years. So, absolutely. I mean, they work hard. They're funny. They're fun. They get along. They're confident. They believe in each other. So, it's been a very, very special year.
Well, and you got the brackets were released yesterday. You already knew that you were going to be hosting. And let's talk about that first. The duties of the host team, are you the den mother for all four teams, or is that something you can kind of delegate and focus on coaching?
Actually, I get to pretty much focus on coaching. I had a conference call earlier today. However, Brian Curtis is in charge of, he's the site supervisor, so I kind of get to show up and play ball. So that's pretty exciting. Columbia College Administration is handling all the details, and they run a great tournament. We've hosted it in the past, and they do a great job, and look forward to a great event.
Weather looks good, which is actually kind of a nice thing for you, because I know in the past when you've hosted the NAI or even the AMC softball tournaments, weather has always been an issue. Looks like it's going to be good weather. It's a noon start for you on Monday. You guys get to lead things off. Any particular concerns being the first team out of the blocks on Monday, nerves or anything?
No, absolutely not. I think that we definitely wanted to be the first game. That means we get to go through our regular pregame warm-up, and we don't have to wait for a team to get off the field. It's a different type of warm-up, and then we get to sit and relax and watch the outcome of the next game. So definitely we would choose to play the first game, and we're very excited to host the Cumberlands and very excited to play again.
Coach Wendy Spratt with us from Columbia College in AI softball. And Coach, you know, Coach Spratt, is this team goes out into this pod and gets ready to host and do this. You obviously don't want to look forward. You don't want to do any of that kind of stuff. The teams in this pod in particular, any team here that has a pitcher that you could see from scouting that gives you trouble or anything like that? Or is this a fairly traditional pod that you were kind of expecting?
I think it's pretty much what we were expecting. I mean, we knew we would get the 18 seed. That's Mobile. You know, I figured it was one of three or four teams. You never know till the final ranking comes out. And then Grandview's a Heart of America champion, and that they're right next door to us. That's where Central Methodist is in their conference. So I haven't played the teams, any of the teams, this year or really. We've never played the Cumberlands. We've played Mobile quite a bit in our history, but it's been a long time, and nobody in our class, our senior class, has played them. So it'll be all new, and I don't think there's anybody that has a dominant pitcher. I think at this level, by the time you get to this part of the tournament, then, you know, everybody has good pitching and good hitting. It's just a matter of, you know, going out and playing your game and doing what you need to do.
Well, your two ladies have been pretty special this year, and we'll get to them in a second, but Have you and Jordan Logan kind of made up after early on in the year having the back and forth over who gets to call pitches?
You know, it's really funny that you say that. We love Jordan calling pitches. She really had to convince me to change that mindset that I had. But, you know, in the end, I was like, okay, it's better. I know it's better. I would rather win than be stubborn. So we made that change, and she's just done a phenomenal job with our pitchers. Even before she was calling pitches, she did a great job. Mm-hmm. She builds their confidence. She's helped them learn new pitches. I mean, she's been tremendous for our program. And then, you know, calling pitches just added a whole another level because she's very, very good at it. She can identify the other team's weaknesses, add that to the strengths of our pitchers at the time, depending on what they're throwing well at that moment. And it's really worked out very well for us. Our pitchers have had both outstanding years this year. And we're going to, you know, attack this pod the same way, you know, go after the hitters. And our offense has been spectacular, too. So,
yeah, it's been an incredibly interesting and fun run to watch this as it goes. But you know, the weekend of in the tandem of Lauren McCroskey going out there and doing what she's been doing. And also, as I go through this, you get the wins from McCroskey. And then your senior pitcher, and I am blanking on the name, and I feel really horrible
Paxton
about
Welch.
That. Thank
yeah.
you, Paxton Welch. Gee, many Christmas. I should know that one. But those two teaming up, do they complement each other, or is that there is a little internal battle of, all right, Paxton, you've gone out and you've done this well. Now it's my turn. Watch this.
I don't think so. Okay. I think they know to be successful, we have to have both of them at the top of their game. And they go out and they do their job and support each other and want the other one to do well. I mean, it's a pretty great atmosphere and team chemistry that we have going on.
Okay, now your tournament starts. The NAIA softball tournament begins next Monday out at Intemi Softball Complex. You have the first set, double elimination format. And do you have to worry anything about pitch counts, about maybe making sure that the rotation is set or anything like that? Does it anything like that really worry you as this double elimination format gets set?
It does not worry me at all. It's a little different than all the other times that we play all year, and that always on any given day, we'll play at least two games. So Paxton would throw the first one and Lauren would throw the second one. So on day one, each team only plays one game. So okay. That means I have to decide who's pitching and, you know, and then the second day, it's like a new day. So does the other one pitch? You know, I think the pitching rotation in this situation, I mean, at this point, we're going to have all three of our pitchers ready for every game and, you know, try to do what we need to do to win to get to the next level.
You know, in past years, there's always been one little part of the Cougar softball team that you wish could have been better. Is there, as you look at this team getting ready for postseason play, is there an area you're like, I've got 4 or 5 days here to get this part fixed? Is there anything like that that you're looking at now?
You know, I really don't think so. I think we just have to stay sharp and, you know, be rested, ready to go, and continue to work hard. What's hard in postseason is that you go from playing games all week long to now you're in postseason and you play once a week. So, you know, you have an 8 or 9 day break since you played. So we try to do some live scrimmages where we're hitting against our pitchers so they get to face batters and we get to face live pitching. But just staying fresh and, you know, our pitching's been outstanding. Our defense is very good. Our offense, you know, we have two of the fastest people in NAI leading us off, and then we have six people that are very powerful behind them. So I'm very confident in our offensive ability and scoring runs. And, again, that takes pressure off the pitching staff. So, you know, right now we're rolling on all cylinders, and we hope to keep that going.
Coach, is this a team that throughout the season has faced – any adversity now that it's kind of down to a one and done situation? You know, if a team like this is behind, who's had so much success this season, you know, is there a place you have to go mentally to try and get a team like this with so much success to overcome adversity that they might not have faced this year?
Well, you know, it's funny that you'd say that, because when we played the first round of the conference tournament, we were down the Lion twice. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, to move on to the four-team tournament in Jackson. And, you know, the first time our number four hitter gets up and hits a grand slam. And then I don't remember what happened the next game. But, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, they've been down. But the thing is that they believe they're going to win. It doesn't matter if they're down. They know that we've got hitters 1 through 9 in the lineup, and they're confident in each other. So if I don't get it done, the next person's going to get it done, and we're going to win this. So it's really phenomenal because I don't have to do a lot of motivating. I mean, they're self-motivated, and they believe in each other, and we're on a mission. So it's a really great feeling as a coach to be a part of and to watch them grow and understand how important everything is. I've never had a team that was quite this. Oh, they're aggressive, they're attentive, they listen, they want to learn, they want to get better. They attack every game. It's been a really special year for us.
Coach Wendy Sprite with us here on the Closers as we wrap this up. How many times have you walked into the locker room and get ready to say something and begin your spiel, and the ladies kind of look at you and go, Coach, we've already talked about that?
Well, you know, I don't know that happens as much. We don't really typically go to a locker room. We just meet at the field.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're just around and you listen to them talk, or when you talk, you know, they listen and they're like, yeah, or they add something of their own to the conversation. So, I mean, they're definitely in it and ready to win. I mean, they don't want to just win this and go to nationals. They want to win a national championship.
Coach, any future assistant coaches in this bunch?
Oh, I hope so. I mean, we haven't talked about it, but I love when players go on to coach young players, and at any age, it's very rewarding for me to see somebody become a coach, and we have several that have done that in the past, and I'm sure that we'll have some from this team that do it as well.
How hard was it to change 23 years of habit?
It was very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, she had to work on me. She started really probably in the fall mentioning it, and I was like, no. And then, no way. And then gradually, I'm like, okay, you've got 6 weeks before we start. Go. Mm-hmm. Attack. Teach. Teach them how to do it. I want them to do it. But, I mean, they were coming along, and we made a lot of progress in that 6 weeks, but it wasn't enough to do what we needed to do and to be the special team that we are. So at that point, I was like, okay, we'll try it. Not working, we're going back, but we'll
I was
going to
say, I'm looking at that first game was Columbia. Blake Topmeyer's got a great piece, folks, if you've not read it, at the Columbia Daily Tribune, outlining a little bit of this. But how different could things have been if that March 3rd game against the 10th-ranked Crusaders gone the other direction with Jordan calling the pitches?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. I'm glad it went the way it did. Yep. You know, we won the gold bracket down in Gulf Shores for the first time. So that was our experimental weekend, and we went. You know, 5 or 6-0 and won the tournament. So there was no looking back from that point.
Head coach Wendy Spratt, again, it's over at the Antimi Softball Complex beginning Monday at noon. Game number one with Columbia College getting things off and rolling. Then game number two will follow. Then games on Tuesday and Wednesday. Coach, good luck next week. May everybody stay healthy. And thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Head coach Wendy Spratt, we'll be right back. We've got more of the Closers as we roll through hour number two. And we'll do that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to the Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young, 442-8255. Man, you hate the old man moments. And you're looking right at a name, and it might as well be that jumble that like Facebook puts up there.
Right.
That says, enter this combination to determine whether or not you're a robot. Yeah, apparently I am.
Okay, well, that's all right.
Okay.
Hey, I want to quickly hijack this real quick because we literally just 30 seconds ago said what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
But Pop decided not to start Kawhi tonight, not to play him.
Kawhi not?
Because he's hurt. Oh, I see what you did there. I see that.
No, you didn't. It just slipped right on by.
Okay. Well, anyway, so Mr. Leonard not playing tonight in game six.
Yep. Okay, because he rolled his ankle in game number 5.
Ankle and knee tweaks all over.
Yep.
Do
you sit Manu?
No.
Well, Pop is known for this stuff, though.
Yeah, but...
He's just like, hey!
Yeah, in January.
Right. Today, tonight.
In January.
Yeah, but this is the day when the roll of the dice says, yeah, screw it. We're going to rest everybody. We'll see you back in San Antonio.
Yeah, again, in January, sure. But if they...
You're saying no.
I mean, I'm saying Kawhi's not playing. I'm pretty sure everybody else other than Tony Parker is going to play.
Okay. Yeah, he's out too.
Jonathan Simmons is starting in his place, which Spurs have a plus minus mm-hmm. when Simmons is on the floor. So we'll see if that holds in a starting capacity, not just in a sub capacity. But if they win
without Tony Parker,
without
Kawhi,
does it call into question some of this MVP superstar talk about who Kawhi is? If they can finish off a conference semifinal opponent like the Houston Rockets without Kawhi,
with their MVP hopeful and
yeah,
the beard,
right?
James Harden. I'm sorry, James, how did that last shot go the other night? Oh, not well, did it?
Doink.
Yeah, that's I think that was.
Anyway, I just think it's real interesting, and curious also. Coaching question: you got two games left to play. You got to win one
of the two, right?
Do you sit the superstar so that he's possibly better for the second game and be fully armed, and seemingly give up to the first game?
So who are you sitting? Kawhi again?
What? No, I'm saying for game six.
Okay, yeah.
Are you choosing to sit Kawhi, or do you play him injured and then risk the possibility of not winning it with an injured Kawhi playing, and then not have him for the pivotal game seven?
Oh no, you don't play him tonight.
I mean,
he made the flight, but he's not.
But I'm saying there was a lot of discussion beforehand whether you do or don't.
Right. But if you crawl deep into the mind of Greg Popovich, which is in a very erudite place to be, you knew he was going to sit tonight, especially because you didn't see him in the overtime. You didn't see him much at all in the fourth quarter. You sure didn't see him out there on the last possession of the ball game or of the fourth quarter. Yeah, you had a really strong idea that if I had said Kawhi Leonard yesterday sits tonight, I'd have been much better footing than when I said, hey, the Caps are going to grab this. By the way, how's that bucket of pens doing over there for you?
They're glowing and they're winning.
Winning.
Yeah, all the winning they did last night.
But my environmental pick won. The Ducks. They beat the Oilers.
Well, yeah, a little Dawn cleans them right up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I found it. Let's go back in time. Hey, James Harden, MVP hopeful. How did that game-tying shot go the other night?
Harden tries to work free for a shot, swatted by Ginobili. There's the buzzer. This ball game is over. Manu Ginobili snuffs a shot by James Harden, and the Spurs win game five in dramatic fashion.
Okay, second, two things out of that one. One, great shot, great job by Ginobili, because Harden thought he had split the double team and had a wide-open shot to tie. Secondly, who's the woman screaming right near the broadcast?
So high-pitched and so loud that you're coming through the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Maybe there were helium balloons and... Never mind.
No.
Yeah. I mean, Manu Ginobili has to be on the all NBA bald spot team, right? Like the all-time...
Oh, he's got a sunroof.
No, he's not putting down the convertible. It's not rolling back.
No,
I mean, he's just opening up the dome.
Yeah,
I mean, he's like a telescope. There's a telescope in there.
He's got the moon roof.
It's like Mauna Lea in Hawaii. They're opening it up to get the telescope out of there.
LeBron James is in competition, you know.
I mean, LeBron is rolling back too. Like LeBron's got like two problems. He might meet in the middle. Like he's like two lovers in a rom-com running towards each other in a field of wheat. Like they're going to meet in the middle and hug. Like he's going to have all kinds of bald problems going on. I remember when Jordan had like he wore a little bit of, you know.
Yeah, he had the little fuzz.
He had a little fuzz going on.
Yeah.
And then that went away.
Gone.
That went away real quick when the bald spot showed up. But Manu, he just rocks it.
He rolls, but see, he can. He's old enough that he can just roll with it.
He's also Argentinian enough.
Well, that's too. He doesn't care.
Right, exactly.
Okay? LeBron does care. Yeah, he does.
If LeBron
he's got satellite ears.
If LeBron cared, he'd have been bald about a season and a half ago.
It's not a... He'll, but, Didn't he try? He tried that a couple of years ago when he was in Miami.
No.
And it wasn't a good look.
I mean, but I'm just saying. Yeah. He's got all kinds of issues. He's got a train wreck happening up there.
Yeah, he probably just needs to step away from basketball. It's not working out for him.
I don't know. Basketball's working out fine. But
okay. It's the hairstyle?
His barber's got some work to do.
Got to keep that thing fresh.
That's right.
And crisp. Hard to keep bald crisp.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back as we wrap up our number two. Thanks to our guests today. Really do appreciate their time. Head coach Wendy Spratt, Columbia College Softball. Good luck on Monday and throughout the entire NAIA softball tournament on their way to the World Series. Good luck to Missouri Tiger softball. They will find out Sunday night where they will play with an RPI of 32. Conventional wisdom says, yes, they will play on. It's just a matter of where they will play on because it will not be at home this time around. So there'll be 11 straight ones for Missouri Tiger softball. Joe Vazzelli, Columbia Daily Tribune, and Dave Matter from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Cardinals win yesterday. We were a little late getting around to it, but better late than not at all.
That's right.
So the Cardinals win yesterday. We talked about it a little bit in the first hour. 6-0 on the road trip. According to Elias Sports Bureau, first time in 126 years of that franchise's history, which is from year one to now.
Mm-hmm.
First time they've ever done that on a road trip of six games or longer. They come back for the second straight night on a 4-0 hole that was dug by their starting pitcher, this time Lance Lynn,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, listening to the game, Ricky Horton, do not like him as a play-by-play guy.
Okay.
But tremendous insight from the pitcher's mindset. And he diagnosed early on that Lance Lynn was not comfortable out on that mound last night. And boy, did it show. Gave up a four spot in the first inning. Was over 100 pitches, four innings in, and he was done. But Tuia Valala picking up the victory. But Dexter Fowler, another huge, huge hit. Sierra, dude can fly.
Yeah.
I don't think Cardinals fans have seen anybody as fast like that since the Vince Coleman days. And even he got caught by a tarp.
Yeah. Quite the firecracker.
Too soon?
Quite the firecracker he was.
Really, he was. But only when he was with the Mets. M80 was what I heard.
Yeah.
Those were the heady days of the New York Mets when they were the worst team money could buy. That team was a train wreck. Imagine, if you will, 25 Matt Harveys all on the same team.
Ugh.
Yeah, pretty much.
Seventh grade lunch table?
Yeah. That was pretty much it. Yeah, and unrestricted rules in the bullpen. But that was the Mets. The Cardinals last night picked up the victory. So they've now won six in a row. They won nine straight on the road. They arrive back at Busch Stadium in first place.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take on the Cubs, who are in fourth place.
Ooh, that's nice.
That is nice. That's very nice. So three-game set beginning Friday night at Busch Stadium. It's part of a long homestand. We'll visit with Larry Borowski about that a little bit more tomorrow. We'll talk about the trust in your pitching staff because you're getting to this part in the season where you've figured out the trends, you figured out matchups,
mm-hmm.
who's good where, who's not good where. And I think Matheny's also got some decisions to make when certain guys come back off of the disabled list. One of those is Johnny Peralta.
Yeah.
I mean, that you hear about him a little bit when they do the minor league update about how his rehab stuff is going. But if he comes back to the parent club, where do you put him? Whose playing time right now do you sacrifice in order to get Johnny Peralta back in the lineup?
I'll tell you where you put him. You put him on the trading block.
Yep.
And hope that there's a need somewhere on a mm-hmm. contender, another contender.
Yeah, I think so. There's no room for him.
Yeah.
And
you're going to have to foot some of that bill, but if you can offset even a little bit of that contract, I feel like you've got to.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to get him some playing time so that teams know what they're getting.
Yeah.
But he becomes a platoon guy And that's an expensive platoon.
That's starter money for 40 to 50% of the work. Now, as much as I would like that money, and I'm sure he does, you want to get out there and you want to play.
Sure.
And the other guy that could be of interest is, what do you do with Matt Adams? Because he's also kind of...
You don't put him in left field.
Well, the other day they had no choice but to put him in left field. They kept running out of guys because they kept getting hurt. But, I don't know, Cardinals off tonight. They will resume action tomorrow, and they will do so with a 19-14 record, 6-game win streak. Royals already won today, 6-0. Thanks to our guests again, Dave Matter, Joe Vazzelli, Wendy Spratt, Jay Sparks. Thank you. Appreciate the time.
No problem.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you all tomorrow. Please be careful out there.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.